episode 14, Brothers of the Holy War. I am Chase Egbert. Andrew Brown, how we doing tonight, bud?
Always doing good, Chase.
Hey, it's been a great weekend for both of us. I'm excited to get into it. Coming up on this episode, we're going to go through some game highlights.
We'll do our goggles on, goggles off, talk about Utah and BYU's games this week. We'll talk a little bit about this week's games and keys to victory.
And last, and of course not least, the final rant. Is it going to be as heart-throbbing as last week? Guess you have to stick around to find out. Coming up, game highlights. All right, segment one, game highlights. We both had excellent weekends, coming out with some W's. BYU upsetting the number 14 team in the nation, according to last week's guest speaker, Connor. Way overrated, but either way, they're still ranked.
They looked a little overrated, that's for sure. But hey, that's a top 25 win no matter what, how rated they are.
That's right. Either way you dice it, they're still better than Toledo and USF, and they beat them.
Probably.
So 25-28, BYU Cougars come out on top. Some numbers to think about. Baylor Romney, third string quarterback out of El Paso, Texas. He was 15 of 26, 221 yards, and two touchdowns. And I think probably the most impressive thing, two things. One, he kept his cool. He looked like an experienced quarterback. Did not look like it was his first time coming out against Boise State. And then the other thing was how well he was able to avoid pressure in the pocket. There were several times they were blitzing off the edge, and at the last second, I don't know if he was just waiting for him to get to him or if he's barely noticed or what, but several times he just step up, move to the side, make a pass, make a run, whatever he needed to do. So pretty awesome to see a young quarterback step in and do something difficult like that.
Yeah, and I think BYU's coaching staff did him quite a few favors. I thought their game plan was stellar. I thought the trick plays on turnovers or quick scores makes it easy on the kid. He doesn't have to drive the field. I thought their game plan was solid and kept him
Ryan Lee was
safe,
one of the commentators,
quick,
and he kind of made a funny comment that
just made it easy for him.
They're making a comment about the stat that BYU hasn't able to score on a sustained drive over 10, like we talked about last week. He's like, so what do you do about that? He's like, well, score before you get to 10 plays. And that's exactly what they did, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, you're right on. They were able to score quick. I think one of the biggest plays of the game was the interception to begin the second half. That was a pretty good defensive play where they showed blitz, drop back quick, and just moved in the window, intercepted. And then to your point, I think it was if it wasn't the very next play, it was two plays later, huge 30-some-odd-yard run by Finu, and boom. You know, like you said, takes a ton of heat off that young quarterback, and props to the to the coaching staff. Did you hear about some of the changes that they had done? So there wasn't anything crazy drastic, but Kalani did make the comment that he was more involved this week in practices. So he was in everybody's huddle. Every time somebody did something awesome, he was up there celebrating with them. And then in the actual game time situation, they brought Grimes down to the field and put Roderick up there. And so it sounded like Roderick might have had a bigger role to play in calling some of the offense. And Kalani, I guess, was more involved in that. And obviously the defense looked different. There was a lot more four down, more blitzes, more show blitz and pull back than I'd seen all year.
I was mystified by Boise State's play calling. And I think it didn't happen because BYU was a little better. And I think it also didn't happen because Boise State never made it an issue. They didn't. I'm not sure they ever ran the ball more than twice in a row at any point. I was like, man, when you're when you're playing a team that struggles to stop the run like this, continually make them stop the run.
If,
they stop
like you
one,
said, if you watch some
again,
of these games against BYU,
kudos to BYU for
when do they start giving
the
up the big
sure.
chunks of yard on the run game? It's late third, late fourth, but that means they've been grinding at him for a while. They, Boise never did it. Now on the flip side, on Utah, they played in a wet, wet game, but pulled off a pretty decisive victory, I felt like. 21-3 over 24th-ranked Arizona State Sun Devils.
Yeah, that was it's not one of those games. Actually, I would have loved to have been there just because of the environment and everything, but that's not one of those games that you're, like, dreaming about going to in that weather and cold and the rain and everything. But it was a fun one to watch on TV. That's two teams that I don't think like each other very much right now. A lot of common recruits between the two teams, lots of happiness, some late hits, some talking after the play. So that was a fun one to get a W in, that's for sure.
Yeah. And like you said, it's kind of become this homegrown rivalry, and that's always nice to get a win against a rival. I'm assuming. I don't know. I haven't had one yet, so.
You can't remember what that's
weekend,
like.
But yeah.
If we're talking straight highlights, nothing beats Zach Moss's record breaker, of course.
Amen. Yeah.
And then nothing makes me happier than there's those small groups of Ute fans that are really mad we didn't get Arizona State's quarterback in recruiting that we really wanted to have him. It was nice to watch Utah's defense to hold them to 4 of 18 for 25 yards on the game and shut up that crowd a little bit there.
They weren't too sad to see him leave, I guess, after that.
Yeah, as I say, no one wants that, that's for sure.
And an interception, too.
Yeah, and he was running for his life all game long. If you want to go watch a one-sided matchup, that's your thing, you really like to watch one-sided matchups, go watch Bradley and I go up against their 17-year-old left tackle. It was just an embarrassment all game long.
Bless his heart. 17 years old.
At one point, they replaced both their left and their right tackles, put seniors in, lasted two drives. They put the freshman back in and said, never mind, it's not any better. So,
ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. Hopefully it doesn't mess with their heads, I guess, for the long run. But
yeah, we need them to beat USC. So, yeah, hopefully they get back together.
So tell me about Tyler Huntley. He went down, didn't he?
Went down. Looks, you know, Utah's so tight-lipped as far as injuries go. Something lower leg, it looked like. He came back in and played for a little while and just wasn't right, wasn't moving right. Looked like he wasn't himself out there, so they took him out second half again and went the rest of the way with Shelley. But he's saying he's going to play this week, so it can't be that serious, even if he doesn't play this week. I think he's ready to go for Washington, hopefully.
Good. Well, I'm going to wrap goggles on, goggles off right into the same segment, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm curious, with that Moss record you were just talking about. How long before that record falls?
I listened to another Utah podcast, and this was a conversation that they talked about. And one of the hosts just refused to answer altogether, just because it's such a fresh thing that everybody's so excited about. And Zach Moss has become this just loved figure in Utah. Stayed all 4 years, came from South Florida. His mom was there as he's breaking the record. He got hurt during the game, came back. So it's just a touchy subject right now for U fans. But I'll go out on a limb and say it doesn't last as long as it did from Eddie Johnson to Zach Moss. I think Utah's quality of running back that they're getting right now is so high. And the way Witt wants to play, if another kid stays 4 years, they have a shot at it. Heck, Jordan Wilmore looks a lot like Zach Moss did as a freshman. I'm not saying he's gonna beat it, but I'm just saying we have different group of running backs at this point of Utah's career.
You heard it here first, 3 years from now. No, I get it. It's so fresh, but it's funny how this day and age with the media, it's gotta move quick. What's next?
Yeah. I wouldn't be mad if Jordan Wilmore broke it in 3 years. That means we've been pretty good the last couple of years, but you know, I'm not predicting that.
Oh man.
Okay.
Yes sir,
BYU
let's do
side.
It.
Goggles, you ready? Okay. Let's go this one first. On a scale of 1 to 10, just on the grand scheme of this season, let's not take anything into consideration. This is a season as a whole. 1 to 10, how big of a W was that for BYU this week?
It all depends on the next 5 weeks, really. So, but looking back,
okay,
to answer your question, okay, I guess, you know, look up to this point, it's a 10. It's a 10. They needed it so bad. Kalani needed it. His coaching staff needed it. The players needed it. The fans needed it. Like, it was, and it was not expected. You know, everybody, I don't think there was, yeah, a lot of people out there on the BYU side thinking that they could pull this off. Now, I had actually talked to a couple of Boise State fans that actually follow them really closely, and they were terrified of the BYU game. They were like, that's our sleeper, and BYU is painted into a corner right now, and when that happens, BYU plays well, and sure enough, what happens? It's a 10.
I thought it was a huge win, but I'm shocked you pulled out the double digits there, Chase.
I know. I'm just going to go all the way.
I guess in the moment, feeling what you were feeling after USF loss, that probably feels like a 10. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, just going from as low as you are, and possibly are, to beating a team that you've only beat a couple times in the last 10 years, it feels good. It feels really good.
Okay, I'll take it.
And it's funny because it's not like one of those wins where you're like up. Well, I'm sure people were. You're like up screaming and going absolutely nuts. It was almost just like this huge relief, and you just sit back in your chair and you're just like, oh,
just a please.
Please. We beat them. Thank goodness. Well, I guess flip it. How about you guys? How big was that?
You know, in the moment when it was ending and it puts you in the driver's seat in the Pac-12, I would have said something like a 7 or an 8. But I think Utah's better than Arizona State, and I think they have bigger things coming. So I'll drop it back to a 6 with some hindsight, looking at the whole season as a whole. It's a good, solid win, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't take care of business in the next couple of weeks. So I'll go with 6.
6. No, I can take that. I see. And you start to get that mentality of, hey, we're going to win, you know, 9-10 games a year, and that's the expectation. A win against someone like an Arizona State should be a 6 or 7.
We were supposed to. It feels good. It was a good win against a good team, but that, you know, that's when you had to win to accomplish the goals that you have ahead of you, for sure.
Yep. And, you know, speaking of that, I think we maybe move on to segment 2. It rolls right into it. Keys to this week's game. Segment 2, keys to this week's game. Andrew Brown, you've got the Cal Bears coming into town. What do you guys need to do to take care of business?
Man, this is, if there's ever a trap game on the schedule this year, this feels like it. Cal struggled on offense. They might be down to their third string quarterback. It's at home. You got the big one against Washington looming next week. You just played ASU in a big one. So it feels like a trap game. So my keys would be to be focused in. If Utah shows up, they win this football game, and they probably win it convincingly. My concern is that they're not ready to go, and Cal hangs around, and Cal's got a nasty defense, and if they force some turnovers and get some easy scores, that we let them hang around too long, and all of a sudden it's a ball game.
I can see that too, especially where Cal randomly played well against Washington of all people. You might not know which Cal team's going to show up.
Yeah. Defensively, they're really solid. That's what I mean. If we turn it over a couple times and give them some easy offense, it gets interesting.
Yeah. Hopefully we can take care of business. You've been talking a lot about wearing that business tie.
They've been business the last 3 weeks. Got to keep it up.
Yep. Hopefully you can keep that gear going ever since that USC loss like they have. High gears.
Exactly.
So on the BYU side, I'm going to lay it out for 2 weeks since BYU has a bye again this week, which I think is almost unfortunate. it's a double-edged sword having a bye week right now. One, having beaten Boise State when they did and the way that they did, it'd been awesome just to roll straight into Utah State, because I think everybody would still be amped, players, coaches, everybody. On the flip side, let's say, hey, it's kind of nice you get an extra week to rest everybody, because there's so many stinking injuries, and we'll take everybody resting an extra week. The cold made you a little more timid, just because you knew that was going to amplify any kind of pain that might come through there. But any of the warm games, you don't even think twice about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know you don't want to hold him out if he's ready to go, but wouldn't be a bad setup. That's just how it happened to happen.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say for keys to the game is on the second week. So go and rest this week. On the second week, whatever you did practice-wise against Boise State, do it again, because there are several coaches and several players that said that they never practiced like the way they did for Boise State the entire season, including the Power 5 teams they played. They said they were flying around, having lots of fun, goofing around with coaches, but with such intensity, and they were actually hitting and tackling, and they just got to do that again and again and again. So rest up this week is my keys, and then have one heck of a week at practice next week.
Sounds good to me.
All right, ready for your final rant? You've been prepping?
I've been prepping, I guess. Yeah, always prepping.
All right, let's do it.
Anyway, Zach Wilson sneaks back. Is that within his timeline, or is that too soon?
Barely. I think he barely misses it. I think we'll see him around the UMass time.
Okay.
So he misses it by a couple weeks. But that would be pretty awesome, though. That would be awesome to get him back, and hopefully he comes back stronger than ever and can do well for us the rest of the season.
Yeah. I was thinking, if there's one you want to try to get him back for, this is your last big one. I guess you have San Diego State at the end of the year, but you don't rush him back, just to make sure, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually would like – I wouldn't mind if the first game back was against San Diego, because you could go down and have him play in the warmth instead of his first game back with a tender hand being in the cold in BYU. I think it might be good for him to play down in San Diego for his first game back.
That does make sense with a hand injury, for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know if you remember, I actually shattered my hand playing quarterback in high school. Final segment, final rant. Andrew Brown, lead us off, buddy.
Okay, so for a fan base that has enjoyed really good defenses over the last little bit, I think we're a little bit spoiled. And if I have to rant, my rant is for Utah fans to enjoy this defense for the next 5 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it is, that it might be the best one we've ever had. And I say that hesitant because of how good of a defense they've had, but this defense might have 3 or 4 NFL players on it next year. Jalen Johnson's just been ridiculous at the corner spot. Our defensive line just wins every battle they have, and I think we're a little spoiled with how good of a defense we've had over the last couple of years, and we should really take a minute to enjoy the dudes that are on this defense right now. And I can't believe I'm saying this after that USC game where they kind of let us down, but they've been nothing but just ridiculous the last 3 weeks. So
yeah, I was gonna say, it seems like they've been getting better as the season goes on.
Yeah, I literally think they had a bad game, and it happened at a really bad time, and it happens to everybody. But since then, they've given up 13 to Washington State, one of the best offenses in the country. They gave up 7 on a turnover at the very end to Oregon State and 3 to Arizona State. And Arizona State had the longest streak in FBS history of 10 points or more in every game for the last 11 years. And Utah broke it this weekend. So just been another level, and Utah fans should enjoy it.
Yeah. You'd mentioned one of our first episodes that Utah seems to play best when they have a chip on their shoulder. I think that USC is that chip, and they're off and rolling.
Yeah, I think it brought them back down to a little bit of the underdog role, a little bit of the underappreciated role, and Utah thrives there. I prefer they'd be undefeated right now, but I can't complain with the result since. So
there you go. There you go. On the BYU side, my final rant has to do with, ironically enough, the second and the third string quarterback. There's, I don't know if it's just because people need something to talk about on a bye week or what, but there's a lot of talk about what should the coaches do as far as starting Baylor or Jaren. Now, Baylor did an amazing job. Came in, nobody really knew who he was, didn't know what to expect, and he came out and he balled. Like, he did great. He did not look like that environment was too big for him and that game was too big for him. He did great. Awesome. And I'm stoked to have him there. And then you got Jaren. He got tackled pretty hard, bounced his head off the ground, left with a concussion against USF. And when he left at the time, they were technically ahead, right? So he hasn't done anything wrong, and he's earned that second spot. And so the big question is, like, okay, do you play the guy that just beat Boise State, who's, you know, supposedly 14th best team in the nation, or do you take Jaren, who's gotten the grand majority of the reps behind Wilson the whole season? And I don't know, just out of curiosity, what do you think my thoughts are on that, Andrew?
I don't know, on the subject, I think it was our friend Ben Criddle that posted a comment this week that about asking BYU fans whether they thought they should pick one and give them the majority of the reps or split the reps the next 2 weeks and let them play it out. And I voted in the poll thinking I was going to be in the majority, but I was not. It looks like a majority of the BYU fans think that they should pick one and give them the majority of the reps, where I was on the other side of it.
Which means that you kind of split the reps?
I thought you have a bye week. You have some time. I'd let those two play it out. I don't see why. I don't know. Out of the two games, I can't say one was for sure better than the other. So I would let them play it out, but that's just me.
Yeah. The other part of it too is now you know their strengths. At least you got one full game with Baylor, and you got almost one full game with Jaren. You could go through and say, okay, what is Utah State's weaknesses on the defensive side? What's some things that maybe they aren't expecting, and go at it. The one thing that my rant, I guess, it's not as much of a rant as last week, but my rant is please don't do a two quarterback system, especially with the second and third string quarterback, and with both of them being so young. You know, if once you get to the point where you've decided, hey, Jaren's healthy and he's our guy, whether that's next week or late this week, or Baylor's your guy, that's the point where I say, okay, you go like a 60-40 or 70-30 split on the reps the rest of the week. I just fear that, because I've seen it before in BYU, it kind of gives me those chills of thinking of Riley Nelson and Jake Heaps trying to do like this perfect 50-50 split in a game.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking 50-50 in a game. I was thinking more as the practice went along this week, giving each a chance to play it out. But that's funny you say that, because right before you said it, I was going to say, I almost guarantee you that you see both against Utah State, but I guess we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind like maybe a trick play, or like if they really need to do like a wildcat, and if Baylor's the starter, bring Jaren in. But that whole, okay, on these kinds of downs, we're going to bring in Baylor, and these kinds of downs, Jaren, it gets way too complicated and everything, and young guys get out of rhythm.
I just don't think there's any way that if play, you know? Go to – it's in Logan in 2 weeks, right?
Yep,
I don't think there's any way you show up to Logan next week, and if, say, it is Jaren who starts, or whoever it is, if you go three drives and you're not moving the football, I almost guarantee you're going to it's going to tense up and you're going to say, let's give Baylor a try or let's give Jaren a try. I feel like you're going to end up seeing both, but I don't, you know, if they're super successful with one, maybe not, but.
Yeah. Well, if the coaches aren't for doing it, sure, you know, sure, fan base is totally going to be doing that. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. And like I said, I'll be down there so we can have some pictures from the belly of the beast down in Logan. All right. Well, Andrew, I'll let you get back to your studies and everything that has to do with the eye, the all-seeing eye. But also, we've got another episode this week. We have an interview with Marshall Thomas. He is a sports writer for Miami SB Nation, a huge Ute fan, and he also followed BYU as a KSL writer for a season a couple years ago. So take a listen to that, and we'll take this bye, and we'll take a win from Utah to next week, and we'll see y'all next week.